It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com. It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
And today we're going to tackle a very popular problem.
And it also seems that we're in, like, weird mood.
Are you?
Me?
And you think I am?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm feeling great. We just were outlining.
But weird.
An online class?
Yeah, but you're being kind of kooky.
Like, okay. I didn't know that.
No, it's charming. It's just fine. It's charming.
Charming and kooky.
Charming. Charming.
Charming.
It's okay. Charming. What did you say earlier?
And I miss you think that I misconjugated a verb. I was like, I puts the thing, you know, somewhere. And yeah, you were making fun of me about it. But I think it was just sort of a
Mallory, the language, you know, scholar. Connoisseur here.
Well,
yeah.
I would say that language is an evolving thing and conjugating.
Yeah. So if you screw your language up, you just say, but it's an evolving thing.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
After you had corrected my spelling on something.
Yes. Yes.
Go ahead.
And now I'm going to say it's remuneration,
right.
Not remuneration.
Right. It's like mune, like money.
Money. Yes, yes. Exactly.
Okay. Not like noom, like number.
There you go. Did you know there are two different ways to spell the word collectible?
Are there?
Collect-able and a collect-ible.
Yeah.
Right?
I would do ible, yes.
Well, it depends. There are two different
words. I was going to say, now I need to know what they are. Okay.
So
I guess I only thought there was one.
Nope. The collect-ible is the thing that needs to be collected. Like
the rent?
The rent. Mm-hmm. The key is a collectible.
So a collectable.
A collectable.
Is like little.
You're just defining this, but you didn't even know.
Like little figurines. Okay.
Yes.
And here's how you can remember what it is.
Okay. Or 2 minutes
okay.
ago. 2 seconds ago.
Okay. So if you want to remember the difference.
Yeah.
Right. Collectibles are little things you put
on
your table.
Table.
Right.
I just want to say that Mom didn't know there were two spellings 2 seconds ago. We didn't talk about this before.
I'm quick.
But she's got it down.
Hey,
You're a quick study.
I'm a quick study.
Okay. So we're talking about losing your sojo and what you can do to get it back, and I'm going to...
So should we in some way try to define sojo in case anybody doesn't have any concept of what it might be?
Just getting there. Okay.
I'm sorry.
Also,
I stepped on Mallory.
You stepped on my toes again. We're in a unique position, so we're going to talk about, like, our sojo is different maybe than from, like, civilian
I think
sojo.
Everybody's.
Well, not like every, you know.
Okay, so Joe could be different and wind up, you know, being different because of circumstance or personality or
but
whatever.
Basically, sojo is, it's a play on mojo, which should have looked up the origin of that word because I really don't know what the origin of the word mojo
and we
is.
We live in Mo.
Yeah, we do.
So do we have mojo?
Anyway, so mojo is sort of your motivation, your...
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah,
mojo.
Yeah, I just said that, and I thought the same thing, Mom.
And Mallory didn't know that a
motivation
few minutes
to Joe, okay? So sojo is like spelled S-E-W-J-O, and it's a play on mojo. It's your motivation. It's your fire in your belly to sew, your inspiration. But it's not just mental. I think it's like physical, too. Do you have something?
Well... It's a magic, a charm, or a spell.
Okay.
Someone must have their mojo over the record company. I don't know why they chose that as a sentence.
Okay, so moving on. We've defined it.
But anyway.
This comes up.
It says it's African in origin.
Oh, okay. So this comes up a lot in sewing.
Or a Cuban sauce or marinade.
Okay, moving on. Jeez, I'm going to take your phone away. All right.
I didn't know there was a mojo sauce, but go ahead.
Now you do.
I do. I've learned a lot so far in this episode. I've learned a lot.
Have you been learning a lot? Mom's going to go cook a mojo sauce because she just found out what it is. She's such a quick study. All right. So anyway, you are the weird one this episode. This comes up so much in our sewing group and on Instagram. And I feel like I see it on Instagram a lot when people are posting a lot of projects.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The little pomegranate on Instagram, that's not her real name, but she was having like a really big moment this summer. She is just a like a home sewist. It's not like she's a pattern designer or something, but she was making a lot of things. She got a feature in Spoonflower, but she has a I think one a small child, and she is a Muslim woman, I believe, living in England, and she was standing up for diversity a lot in this summer when I noticed it.
Right.
Like diversity and representation in sewing magazines. She was posting all of these wonderful makes. She's at The Little Pomegranate on Instagram. And anyway, I just saw a post from her just a week ago that was like, I'm so sorry I haven't been posting and I've lost my sojo a little bit because I have this little kid and I've been tired in the evenings and blah, blah, blah. And people are like, oh, don't apologize, you
right.
know. And anyway, she, you know, even someone like her who has had this big, you know, presence on
right.
Instagram and all of this can sometimes lose that motivation.
Right.
And then in the group, sometimes people will post, I would say, every couple of weeks, I've lost my sojo.
Right.
What do you
do
to get
that.
It back?
How do I get it back? Yeah.
What do you do to get it back? And I think that a lot of people say, do something quick. Just
yeah.
do some mending.
But don't do mending if you hate mending.
But I
mending.
Was like, I don't know if mending would do it for me.
Well, I can I understand where I think that's coming from. If the mending is maybe mindless.
Yeah.
It's the same old theory of just put one foot in front of the other and maybe all of a sudden you will start running the race, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So first of all, I think that this problem can have like deep psychological roots.
Oh my gosh.
That we are not qualified to handle. Okay, so you know, sometimes people like in some of my clutter clearing podcasts or personal finance podcasts,
yeah.
I'm coming across this more and more where sometimes some of these mundane challenges that are seemingly mundane challenges that people come up against.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Actually
have. Sure.
You know,
there's a route and it's being played out
yeah.
as losing your sojo.
And that's okay.
Right.
And so I don't mean to like, I'm not trying to like scare anyone or anything.
Or become a psychologist
no,
in the next 20 seconds.
I'm not
yeah.
like you would. Mom, no.
I am a quick study.
You're a quick study. But I think it's important to like get to know yourself a little bit around these things. Okay. So if you're someone who mending would get you back into the flow of sewing, that might be true for some people, right? Like you
yes.
said.
For okay.
Or,
okay.
hold on. No, no,
no. No, no, no.
I don't even know if
no,
you should
No, we just
You're
did this again.
Something.
You said mending wood. And I was like, there's a thing called mending wood.
Go learn about it. Go look it up on your phone.
Okay, we've been talking about words and their meanings and, you know, synonyms and antonyms and homonyms.
And that's a homonym.
And, yeah.
No, it's a homophone.
A homophone. It's a homophone.
Okay.
Whoop, be careful there. Anyway, so... Yes.
The answer.
She's saying if it would, WOULD.
If it would help.
If mending would help you, not mending would.
No.
Yeah. So commas can be important.
There you
or
go.
Pauses. Yes.
Or finishing your sentence, which
right.
I'm always getting on you
well,
about.
Yeah.
So maybe mending would help you if you're someone who is just like, oh, I don't have any idea what to sew.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you are actually lacking in like an idea for a project and you got some mending sitting there. And you're amenable to the mending. Amendable? That's a word. Okay. If you're amenable to the mending, maybe that would help you. Personally, with I think a lot of sojo issues come from people failing at things. I made three things that didn't quite fit. I'm over this. You know, does that, and that's not something that you come up against a lot.
No, but I have done that where I was like, I've done the thing where I've thought through, like, oh, I think I want to make one of those. And I'm like, I haven't made one of those in like 6 years. How did I make that? And I will get a little bit of a hesitancy, like, why didn't I take notes? Or do I have notes? Or do I have pictures? Or do I have that old garment I could look at to see what I did? You know, but that would, I would think, is not a true sojo loss. Okay. It's more like a hesitancy that I will work through.
I think that that is another issue where you've been having a lot of challenges, and this is where another technique can pop up, the quick win strategy.
Right.
Okay. So if you have a tried and true project or pattern,
right,
this is where you can say, I'm going to go in there and make a zippered bag.
Because I know how to make these.
That's
I can make these in my sleep blindfolded. Yes.
And if you already have enough zippered bags, make one as a teacher gift or a family gift.
The thing about zippered bags is you can give them away at any time for any reason, and they can also become a gift wrap.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
so, right. You know, something can be put in that.
So we've come up, we've categorized these things kind of.
I used to just like hem napkins sometimes.
There you go. Hem some napkins. Yep. Always could use some more reusable
how easy
cloth
is that?
Napkins.
Plus you get to touch the fabric. You know, this is the process. You get to touch the fabric. You get to touch the thread. You get to feel the machine, the hum of the machine. So you're, it is the one step in front of the other kind of thing.
And, I think another reason some people might lose their sojo is because of, I was going to say FOMO, but just because it's funny to say mojo and FOMO in the same thing.
Mojo, FOMO.
But
FOMO. Or, FOMO, mojo, FOMO in Como.
Okay, there you go. We live in Como. I'm in Columbia, Missouri. I think some people get intimidated by things that they're seeing on social media.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm seeing all these people post all this beautiful stuff.
Okay. Everybody needs to just get rid of that. Okay?
It's not that easy, Mom.
Well,
all
but
the time.
Here's what I'm saying about that.
I'm just being nice.
I mean,
good
here,
cop,
honestly, this is what I'm saying about that. That is a pit you can fall in about anything. We had someone come into our Pilates class last week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she was not of the younger part of the gym. She was of the, on my side,
your
the older.
Part.
Yeah, she, you know, I think this woman was probably like 50-ish. And she said, I'm just getting back into fitness, right? And I said, oh, did you retire? Yeah, I retired last year. You know, we had a little bit of a conversation. So she walks into this Pilates class where the three of us in the front row are aerialist who
do stuff like this
have been
all the
taking
time.
This Pilates class to build strength for, you know. And she's like, oh, my God. And I said, Terry, we couldn't do it the first time either. I guarantee you we couldn't do it the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you say, oh, I can't do that or I'll never do that, then you won't.
Yeah.
I mean, you have set yourself up for that. I have done things I never knew I could do.
Yeah.
I never even thought that I would do.
So if you are looking on social media and maybe you started there for inspiration and you started there for just to get some ideas, get an idea of what was going on, or maybe that's how you discovered sewing, don't allow that to be a roadblock that makes you lose your sojo.
No.
But I think it's let's give like an actionable tip.
Well,
okay?
I'm not saying you go, oh well, I'll changed my mind.
That.
Yeah. You know, but think about that. Everyone starts somewhere.
Okay. So I think an actionable tip to get over this type of sojo loss is to pick a project and, you know, if you want to pick a quick win or you want to pick a new thing, but just set one goal.
Right.
Like, and if it is a very complex jacket or if it is just a simple zippered bag or whatever, but pick a goal, because I think when I start to get that kind of sojo loss, or actually, you know where this happens for me is in our business. I will see other companies or other presences doing things and I'm like, oh, we should have done that, or we need to do this.
Oh, we know we, that. Why didn't we do
didn't
that
we
already?
That,
right.
Whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, it's, you know, swim in your lane, focus on you.
Right.
So take some time, or just a little bit of brain energy and say, okay, I've seen all this beautiful stuff from the little pomegranate. Okay. No, or from anybody on Instagram.
Right.
I've seen all this wonderful stuff. Great. Now, what do I want to make next?
Right.
And try and focus on
and
that.
And I think there's along with that and not too far from that, I think there's this other approach you can use with that is you see this amazing jacket that has zippers and buttons and buttonholes and collar tabs or whatever. And you go, oh, I can't do all of that. So you do make a zippered bag because now you know how to handle a zipper.
Oh, mom, I love that.
Right?
So not only like a goal.
Or now I'm going to make this thing with some buttons on it. You know, what's a project where that uses a lot of buttonholes
or a certain type of fabric?
Right. Yeah. I mean, just, you know, break it down.
Like, so figure out what you're envious of and kind of
break
it down
something. Because when you do look at that jacket, we're stuck on jackets right here or using that anyway, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. It's not. Okay, it's not sewing a jacket. You don't learn to sew a jacket.
Right, right.
Okay? You have to learn all of those other things. You know, you didn't learn to drive a car because you got behind a wheel and turned the keys on. You know, I mean it takes a little bit. But, you know, you develop skills and you develop certain. Everything has to be broken down. There's very, very seldom can you just do something.
Okay, so we've talked about. If you're just feeling like you don't even know what to do in your sewing room, go in there, do something simple. If you're feeling like you've been failing a lot, do something you know you can succeed at to boost your confidence a little bit. And if you're feeling some FOMO or some envy, take some action to make yourself feel good. So let's take a little break and come back and talk about other types of sojo loss and what to do with them. CD, what's your favorite way to measure yourself?
With my Easy Check tape measure.
So tell me a little bit about this.
It's the only way to measure myself, I think.
Why is it so magical?
Well, because there's a slide on it.
Uh-huh.
You actually snap one end of the tape measure into the back of the slide, and then you fit it to the measurement, and then you can unsnap, and the slide remains on the place that you've measured.
So if you're trying to measure your arm.
Right.
Or your underbust.
Right.
Or your thigh.
Or your head.
Oh, yeah. The head. Right. Definitely.
Well, and, you know, measuring yourself is one thing, but even measuring somebody else, what it does is it marks the spot, basically, where the measurement is. And so if this happens to you, that you're measuring somebody and they start talking to you and you're like, was that 21 or 23? Oh, my gosh.
Right.
And where with this, you know, the slide has marked it.
I also have heard feedback from customers who say, I am sending this to my daughter or, you know, so that she can measure my grandchildren.
That's
and it will be accurate.
Right.
Right.
Well, we've actually had trainers, too.
Yep.
That bought these, you know, for their customers or they themselves use it for their customers. Or it was a male trainer and a female client. He didn't have to put his hands on the person.
Right.
Or whatever.
Also, this tape measure, when you use it with a snap, it's impossible to work from the wrong side.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you can't measure from the 60 end. You have to measure from the zero end.
Yes.
Right. Right. And I said 60, but, you know, it also has the millimeters on the other side, too. So you've got...
you have imperial. And you have metric,
right.
And so the Easy Check tape measure makes it very simple when you are trying to measure yourself and you just don't want to be fumbling around.
Well, and I think, you know, the thing is, don't order one, because if somebody sees it, a husband or a daughter or just a friend, I mean, honestly, at Christmas time, I would put this like in almost everybody's stocking stuffer. And I think it's a great thing to like send away to college with people, things like that.
Where
you want something measured.
Well, if you're interested in your own Easy Check tape measure, you can see a video on how it works at sewhere.com/tape measure. And you can check it out for yourself.
Sewing out loud.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
And we're back. Okay, we're going to bring up the little pomegranate again. Okay, her name is Romana. I'm so sorry. I mean, sometimes my brain just
fogs up.
I just could not remember her name.
Gets so full.
And there's a pattern company that did a coat named after her called the Romana coat.
Oh, yeah?
Anyway, sorry, everyone, for not remembering her name earlier in the episode.
I'm sure if you search the little pomegranate.
You will. You'll find her.
Some connections.
Okay, so we're going to talk about how...
Yeah. So she's apologizing because she's not sewing, or, you know, I don't know if she said lost my sojo, but, you know, I haven't been doing it and life happened or something happened. So I guess here's the other thing is, how do we, if we want to just keep our mojo,
how do we not lose it
versus getting it back? And she may have sewn 6 months worth of projects, like, in 2 months.
Yeah, okay. So
I mean, maybe she was gung, or maybe that's all the time. Maybe that's the block of time she had. I mean, I'm not criticizing
her. No.
I'm just saying, you know, that I sew like that.
Yeah, big spurts.
Yes.
Okay, this is what I...
I'm not consistent. There's this sort of waveform I'm following.
This is what I think ZD is trying to say, and what will be the heading in the show notes is... There is an ebb and flow.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's okay to take a break.
A weft and a white.
A weft and a right. It's okay to take a break. It's okay to recognize that sometimes you have super productive periods, and sometimes you have times where you need to take a break for whatever reason. So just being kind to yourself and maybe reframe it. Oh, I've lost my sojo. Is maybe not the way to put it.
Or
put it
I think the other thing is, you know, and I'm not trying to recognize her reason. I don't know what her reason was for not sewing or losing her sojo or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But maybe trying to recognize it. And I know one thing that'll kill. The only thing I know that'll kill mine is somebody making me or having, like, tricked me into making something I didn't want to make. Like, it's not exciting.
Okay, but you still
I don't
get it
like
done.
It. I get it done, but it's so hard. I'm not there. My sojo is not there. My heart is not in it. And I think sojo means like you're in it.
Yeah.
Or another thing that bothers me, I think that can dampen my sojo is like if I have left the studio like a wreck and I. You can work better in a rec than I can. I like things a little bit more organized and neat.
I'm working on it.
But, you know, I do much better if I walk in and my machine is ready and it is clean.
You get annoyed and angry when the studio is a mess. And you come in and you're like, man, I can't work like this.
Well, and what it is if I can't find something, I find that, you know.
To be so irritating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, why is it, okay, I need a pen and I have to look for a pen for 4 minutes. That's ridiculous.
Okay.
That's wasting my sewing time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And so to be keeping your sojo.
Right.
Making sure and you know, doing what you can or recognizing right. I've got to clean it up before I sew or whatever is good.
And, you know, some people might not need that.
Yeah. Also, if you are someone who's building a social media presence, like let's pretend that you've started a blog or you're me and you need to be marketing your business or whatever, I think it's a really good idea to pace yourself.
Yes.
And to save up content.
Right.
Okay. So I won't say that this would be like a solution to Ramona's problem at all, you know, so that's not what I'm saying here. But like for me, if I'm having a really productive time sewing, I need to be taking the pictures. Yes. I need to be doing the things and I need to not post them all at once.
Right. And, you know, that's something.
For me at sewhere.com.
That's a big thing about social media.
Yeah.
Don't think you have to post the picture right there. Don't think you have to come up with a caption right there.
Right.
You can save those pictures and you can do it later.
So if you're somebody who's trying to do something right. like that and stay consistent. Now, if you're just having a good time, I mean,
right.
post whatever you want and then take a break for 3 weeks. Like, don't apologize.
Right.
At all.
You know, the good thing about sewing is, or sewing blog or whatever, or posting about sewing is, it's not like cooking. Like, you don't. You know, once you peel the potatoes, you don't have to use them. Like,
yeah,
you can
right.
cut out the pattern and it can lay there
Either
for
way.
A year.
Yeah,
you
know, it doesn't go bad.
Right, it doesn't go
yeah,
bad.
Very true.
It does wait for you.
Yeah, so if you're trying to keep up that, you know, some kind of level of consistency.
Yeah,
if you
sewing
up,
doesn't have to be seasonal or
no.
timely or whatever.
In fact, I've been running some marketing experiments on our social media presences. And there, I think it was for two or three months, I was posting. I had three posts a day scheduled on our Facebook and then one post per day on Instagram. And those platforms act very differently. There are ways to schedule ahead of time on Instagram, but they're not as easy as Facebook, okay? You can, you know, there are special apps, but it's not native to Instagram that you can schedule ahead. Facebook, you can. But you know, what people want to see on those platforms is different, et cetera. And for Instagram, though, I set up a special album on my phone and took some pictures and kind of banked some mm-hmm. of those, you know.
Right.
And so anyway, it was very interesting and it was productive. However, I then went down to a lower posting rate just to see what would happen. So if I would know, okay, is this actually a productive use of our time, you know, to be posting this much? Or how should I be doing this? And different brands have different strategies for doing this. And our Instagram is not some, like, beautiful curated place like some other brands are. Seems to work for us, though. So anyway, that is my tip. I hate to go too much into the business part. But this is where I do want to talk about. So we kind of defined some different Sojo loss causes for you, dear listener, who is probably someone who has a job and you are a sewing hobbyist.
Right.
Or you know, maybe you don't work outside the home, you care for children and sewing is a hobby. But most of our people do have some kind of limited time to sew.
Right.
That's a topic too. But Zeedee and I are a little different. We have a different element
right.
that enters into this, and that is that we do this for a living.
Well, and sometimes that, I mean, everybody can look at us and go, oh, especially when we had the shop, people would come in and go,
oh,
you're so lucky you
day.
Get to sew all day. And I'm thinking, as soon as you walk out the door, I have to go hit the computer
right.
and do payroll.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I know I don't sew all day. I'm glad everybody thought I did. Yeah.
No, our job is to make sewing look fun.
Right.
I have this problem with my personal acquaintances, and I think you do too. They think.
I don't have any friends.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Duh. Okay. They think I'm having fun all the time.
Right.
And my job is to make it look like I'm having some level of fun all the time. My job is to, I'm not supposed to, you know, I feel like we're fairly candid people.
Well, I mean, one reason we do this is we also enjoy
this. We do
enjoy it. Besides having a knowledge base, we do enjoy it.
But I get this, even though we don't have the shop, people are like, oh, so you just get to sew and make clothes all day. And will you make my kids some
tights? Is there anybody that gets to do what they want all day?
And
I mean, who is that?
And I know a lot of.
Who would that person be?
I know a lot of artists. okay, I have more artist friends than the average bear, like statistically.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, you make paintings for a living. You know that you're not having like a grand old time all of the time.
Right.
So I have that problem. I also feel really frustrated sometimes when my stuff isn't coming out right. And I get ticked. And I deal with a lot of fear of failure, too. I will get worried that whatever I'm going to do next is not going to turn out
right. Okay, the thing about sewing, though, is you can do it over.
Yeah.
Or you can, you know, the only thing that usually is a problem is if you run out of the fabric that you thought you were going to use. Or something. And then sometimes you get real innovative. So I don't, you know.
You're totally right.
I mean, sewing, okay. I was citing the back of a house a couple days ago, right?
What were you doing?
Citing the back of the house, and I thought, oh, man, a wrong cut here is really, really bad. You know, I mean.
You can't stitch it together.
Well, you can't, you know, you can't put an applique on it. I mean, it's like, and it's a really big piece of material, you know, of.
You can't put a rhinestone over it.
Well, yeah. And, you know, if I cut this panel wrong, can I use it again down the line? Maybe, maybe not. Uh-huh. Right. So I was thinking sewing is forgiving.
It is. But this is a little, this is where I'm talking about the underlying issues. Okay. So really the answer to like what to do when you lose your sojo is that everyone should be going to therapy all the time. Okay.
Well, and there are different kinds of therapy.
If I could change something about the world, well, I mean, I would change a lot of things, but I find it very unfortunate that it's so hard for
after
us to
world
get,
peace, Mallory Wood.
That it's so hard for us to get mental health services in our country. It's hard to get them in
a
lot of
I was
other countries.
Say, almost any place, right.
But they're expensive, they're rare. Okay, especially in certain areas, maybe like a rural area. But even here in our rather metropolitan town where we have like 5 hospitals and a university, it can be hard to find a therapist, you know?
Well, so, one that fits.
Yes. So anyway, you can have – like I have this fear of failure, and even though I know that sewing is forgiving, it doesn't change, that I have to find my own coping mechanism.
That's right.
Okay, for this. Like – obviously, anyone who...
You're responsible for healing yourself.
That's... Well, right. Yes. And so... Or I love going and seeing my counselor, you know, for this reason is what I'm saying. And people
Oh, my gosh. You have not gone to a counselor and talked about sojo, have you?
Well, I've talked about my fear of failure is what I'm saying.
Okay.
Okay.
That's all right, I guess.
Well, hey, I can talk to my counselor about whatever I want, Mom. What if I talk to her about sojo?
I'm sure she's talking to her about me.
Exactly. Okay.
She's afraid she won't be as magnificent as her mother.
That's what her problem is. That is exactly what we talk about all the time. Like, I'm just afraid I won't be able to do what Zeedee can do. Anyway, this fear of failure thing, okay, that some people
I'm
can
sorry,
have.
Sorry, it's just hitting me very.
I just want to tell you, Zeedee said that I was the one in the weird mood. That's what's that called?
Projection.
Oh my God. Go talk to your therapist about that.
If you're not in therapy, you will need it after this.
That's
podcast.
No, I really wish I find, and a lot of bloggers and podcasters who I follow, you know, they talk about how, you know, therapy is very helpful for them or they do something. But sometimes sewing is not like a therapeutic activity for me. I can find that it's a lot of pressure because of what we do.
Well, of what someone else expects.
Yeah.
And then you project that onto yourself.
Oh, for
and then
sure.
It's what you expect.
So I need to. So for me, you know, how my particular neuroses work and how our business works, I have to be careful about that. Now, you have here's something I want to hypothesize about you. You deal with a chronic illness.
Yep.
Okay. And that can keep you from sewing sometimes.
That bothers me a great deal.
But
it bothers me a great deal in I would say
thing.
All aspects of my life
do
too.
You feel
not
like,
being able to finish something or complete or start something.
Do you
something.
Feel like sometimes your chronic illness is sometimes a bit of a gift in that you're like, I'm cutting out the BS. I can't afford to lose my sojo. If I'm feeling good, I'm going to do what I can do. Because if I don't, like, carpe diem right now when I'm feeling okay. Because I felt like that when I had a kid. I was like, oh, my gosh, my time is so much more valuable. You know what I'm saying? Does that happen with you?
Not exactly like that.
Not the way I'm describing.
I do believe the one thing about having a chronic illness is you cut out the crap.
Yeah.
That I think I have been able to do better than I was ever able to do before in my life, because I'm like, oh, I'm going to sew instead of do the dishes.
Uh-huh.
I can do that.
Yeah.
I can bargain something off.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I can make a trade up, or I do not have to listen to this person yap and yap and yap when I could be sewing in my sewing room or something like that. Right.
Yes.
Or I'm not taking on someone else's problem in my sewing room. I'm sewing for myself.
Right.
Right. So in that case, but what the chronic illness has done is limited me on how I can do something. And I used to love to start a project and just go through it till the end.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very few things I couldn't finish, like in a day's time or half a day's time, I'd say. Or if I did start it, I could just stay up an hour or two later.
Right.
You know, I could push myself, and I can't do that anymore, and yeah. I find that frustrating.
Mm. So maybe do you get worried about starting something sometimes?
Well, I have to learn to do it in chunks.
Okay.
You know, yeah. I have to break it down more now. Like, yeah. I'm like, so if you only get the pattern altered today, or...
It's okay.
Right. Because, you know, I'll pull a pattern out, and I'm almost 99% of the times I'm drafting my own pattern.
Yeah.
I pull a pattern out and I'm like, oh, I want to make this look like this. So I might only be able to do the pattern alteration that day.
Yeah.
Where before I could have done the pattern alteration, cut it out, and, you know, probably had everything done except the hem or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very
And so that's frustrating for me.
Yeah. So I just think that this episode should, I think what the takeaway is you need to figure out why you've lost your sojo.
Yeah. It might not be totally related to the sewing.
And there are different ways to deal with it depending on, like, your predisposition to certain things. Because the mending thing doesn't get me. Nope. Not happening.
Well, you know, the other thing is we used to see people that would come in and buy every machine we had and take every class we had and just love sewing. So they would be really good at it.
Uh-huh.
They would catch on really quick. And after 2 years, they never sewed again.
Yeah. Happens.
Then they went on and they went into woodworking. And then they, you know, and this is what they did.
Yeah.
They were only good for like 2 years at something. Do you know what I mean? They did. That's, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that,
I mean,
if that's
whatever.
What you want to do.
So first of all, be kind to yourself.
Right.
And know that, like, it's not that you lost your sojo and you're less of a human being or you're never going to sew again.
Right.
Maybe you need a break. And then find that thing that does help you get back into it, which might be mending, which might be a tried and true project, which might be setting a goal.
It might be going to an alternate skill.
Yeah.
An alternate craft.
Creative,
an alternate creative
cross-training.
Something. Exactly. Yeah. Or go to an art museum.
You know who said that to me? I was going to start an interview podcast, and Betts White said creative cross-training.
Yeah.
To me.
You know,
go look at clothes.
Go look at things that are sewn.
Yeah.
Go to a fabric store. Don't go to a fabric store. Go to something else.
Watch a movie.
Yeah. What inspires you? I really like glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes things will happen to me, though, that make me appreciate sewing more and just get over myself.
You know, what's funny is I think of how do people, because sewing is such a big part of my life, I'm like, how do people not sew?
Yeah.
Like, how do they, you know, well, they just don't.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they, if that garment loses a button, they get rid of the garment. You know,
and we
whatever.
Did a podcast on that, too.
Yeah, we did.
So. All right. Well, I think that's good. I'd love to, you know, hear some
discussion.
Well,
there's that one question. Do you even want sojo?
What is sojo?
Do you even want it?
Yeah.
I mean, we had this whole podcast. It's probably worthless.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. No. So, yeah, be easy on yourself. Figure out what's going to work. Don't rush it. It's okay. And Ramona wrote that post apologizing. And, of course, everyone commented.
Don't apologize.
Everyone commented and said, we're happy with what you share with us. And don't apologize. And you're great. And, you know, take care of your baby and rest and be a wonderful person.
Be good to yourself.
And, yeah, right. No one was like, yeah,
Where have you been, lady?
No one was like that. So that's good. I'm sure that that could happen. And I want to say, I'm in a couple other sewing groups. Okay, and sometimes
do you use your real name?
Yes.
Okay.
Sometimes they can become repositories for just very pretty pictures of garments with affiliate links attached.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like our group, and that's fine. I love looking at pretty pictures.
Right.
Okay. That's the aspirational part of, social media. And I like that sometimes. I like to see pretty finished pictures. It's great.
Well, every group has its own personality.
Yes. But I do think our group does offer the acceptance and encouragement about the process and about the questions.
Okay.
And about things like that. So,
and I'm giving a shout out to Jasmine.
Yeah. Well, I just have to bring up. Yes. Yep. Yes.
Jasmine, you were thinking of her?
So Jasmine posted.
Jasmine Howard.
I think it's going to still be BP Sovember when this episode comes out. And she tagged us as a resource.
She tagged us, I think, twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because she tagged like So Here and she tagged like me and you, is what happened. And, she said that she put up a picture, of her project, the PJ pants, I think. And we commented. And yeah, it's not like everything.
Not only did she talk about us, she talked about the group. The members and what the group had done for her. That's what felt good.
That's what I meant by us. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I didn't get that.
Me and you, but the group.
Well, good. Yeah. I'm glad I clarified it.
No, we've got some really freaking awesome members, including Jasmine.
Yes.
And people are supportive. Also, I'm so sorry. I can't remember this person's name, but she's been doing the beetle wing embroidery for a dress. And she's been posting the process pictures, and then she posted the finished dress today.
She has to make a comment. I can't.
Oh, my God. Okay. Ooh. I'm so sorry. Okay. I have my phone over here. But it's just, we get a lot of really genuine, I feel, interaction in that group. Now, I love pretty pictures, too. It's not that I'm against that. But I feel like we get some really cool, what just is happening in the sewing room right now. And I really like that about our group. I feel comfortable there. I know I made the group. Who is it?
It's Megan.
Ooh, I don't know how to pronounce her last name. Kunha? Kuna?
Oh, they're an H?
Kunha? I try not to say
Kunha?
People's last names on the podcast. Yeah. You are on Facebook.
I was going to say, it's out there, Jasmine.
Megan.
Megan. Megan, Jasmine.
Megan, Jasmine,
I love
whoever.
You both. Yes.
Yeah, so she, and she posted these beautiful pictures. She's been doing this embroidery. It's been so fun to follow along. I also love it when I see people who post kind of some lo-fi pictures, and then they post some, nicer pictures. I'm like, yes, both things happen in our lives.
That's
right. Sometimes you're in the dark, and sometimes someone takes a very nice picture of you outside.
I also like when somebody posts, look at this piece of crap I made. Blah, 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 blah. I'm never sewing again.
Okay, we're totally off topic here. My favorite thing that happens in the group, I love this, is someone posts in this Facebook group that they have lost something in their sewing room.
Yeah, where is it?
And they ask the group where to look for it. I love it. It's like a surrealist, act of performance art. And people are like, and people don't know this person. And they'll just be like, have you looked in your pile of fabric? Or I always put my scissors here. Sometimes it's helpful. And I love it. It's like magic. It's like it's like sewing, special fairy dust comes from
like
our group.
Yes.
ESP.
And so.
Yeah, there you go.
Or something.
We missed out.
So PM.
ESP. So SP.
So SP.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. My favorite.
This is the last thing we get to share.
This is my favorite of all time pose. And I want to say it was Aaron, but maybe it wasn't. I can't. But someone threw their scissors and they stuck in the wall.
That was Kim.
Was that Kim? Oh, okay.
Kim who?
Kim Shear.
Kim who? Kim Shear. I think that was Kim.
Was it?
Because I remember thinking.
I think Kim
threw some scissors.
Yeah, I was, and they stuck in the drywall.
I'm getting to know Kim a little better now.
I was like, whoa, man.
We can't even see the walls in our studio.
If
we threw scissors, it would just bounce off some fabric.
the thing is I made sure I made a very nice comment.
That's right. Good throw.
Yeah.
Kim, you need to go. Kim, you need to go to one of those axe throwing
the hatchet thrower
places
thing.
That are all popular now.
Yeah, that have bars in them. I mean, people get to drink and throw axes. I really think that's the best idea.
Do they have
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Is that like the best idea you've ever heard? Oh, my God. What are people thinking?
Well, anyway. That was our best shot at telling you how to get your sojo back. Okay. So we hope it was helpful.
So we hope you didn't want sewing information.
That's right.
Today.
That's right. We
listen
are
to another podcast.
That's right.
There's a whole bunch of them.
These are the most popular.
Yeah.
People don't want to hear us talk about sewing.
Listen, we get a lot of suggestions of just having a podcast about our lives.
Okay. And I know why. I mean, I listen to some podcasts and it's just like, I like to listen to the people talking.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we hope you like listening to us talk. You can find us on Instagram. We're at SoHereCom. You can email me at Mallory@SoHere.com. And ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SoHere.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.